Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Basketbuds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I get to start today as your host, and I'm joined by the Big Three, Mo, Jay, and James. Zach Harper gets the week off. Coming up on today's show, we'll talk about the scoring in the NBA, Utah Jazz being a regular season animal, and then we'll get into LeBron becoming number two. But first, we start off with Karl Anthony Towns. Jay. I had to start off with this because I know how you told the group how you felt about this past week, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on the rabbit having the gun.
The rabbit definitely has the gun. Now look, they've been unbelievable since the All-Star break. They are just pummeling teams. They beat the Grizzlies. They beat a couple other teams worth chirping about. Karl Towns, I feel like he's that kid who, like, his voice just got a little deeper. Now he just wants to use that voice. You know what I mean? Like,
feels like you.
Yeah, probably. he's having an unbelievable season. They really are just killing teams lately. I think they're, 11-2 since the All-Star break? 9-2 since the All-Star break? Something like that. And, Like that he's shooting 53% from the field while taking 5 threes a game. Like, that is really, really difficult. He's having a season that probably more people should be talking about. He went out and had 60, and he's feeling himself a little bit. The Lakers stuff that had me. It was entertaining. Let's just put it that way, because Russell Westbrook obviously has been animated his entire life. He obviously has a long-standing feud with Patrick Beverley. He has said some extremely powerful stuff about Patrick Beverley in the past. And the Timberwolves as a team were not having it. And that's kind of what you want to see from the Timberwolves. Like, they're growing up. They've been soft for too long. They've been soft for too long. It's time to stand up, have a little, you know, have a little bass in that voice.
James, so they were saying that it was classless for Karl Anthony Towns to be screaming and doing all this celebrating. And Karl Anthony Towns said, you know, it was cool when everybody was rocking the baby, but now when I and my team have the time to celebrate, it's not cool. What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's all corny. Like, for anybody to, if you don't want somebody to celebrate, don't lose. Don't get beat down. Like, that's always been my philosophy. Like, this is entertainment. This game is full of showmanship. That team over there has been, they're literally known for the Showtime Lakers. They've been nothing but Showtime and had showmanship. And even this group, like, even though they haven't had success now, but throughout their careers, I mean, yeah, Russell Westbrook was literally the epitome of expression on the court. That's what drew people to him. So let Karl Anthony get his stuff off. The way he's playing is ridiculous. I love this Timberwolves team. They're one of my favorite teams to watch. And it's almost like the Devin Booker effect of, like, everyone's like, oh, this guy's not a winning player. Well, he isn't once he gets good players around him. And not to say that the Jimmy Butler iteration of the Timberwolves wasn't filled with good players, but that was a toxic relationship. This is a team that has good players. They're all the same age. They all like each other, it appears, at least. And now they have Karl Anthony Towns unlocked. Chris Finch has done a great job. I really enjoy this Timberwolves team, and I don't know what they'll do in the playoffs, but I'm going to be watching.
They won't do much.
Mo, how do you feel about this, Mo?
No, I mean, I'm kind of on Karl Anthony Towns' side on this one of, like, everybody's jumping on him. When we're talking about when Westbrook was doing the Rock the Baby stuff, nobody ever said anything. It was cool. We were talking about KD going at Evan Fournier last week, right? And not even just saying he's too small, going he's tiny. So there's a whole, you know, we just have a choice of like, when some guys do it, it's okay. When other guys do it, we don't like it so much. So I think that's kind of a little bit shitty. But the ultimate side of it is, I've been on Carl Anthony Towns all season. I thought he's been great. I thought he should have been an all-star starter. Like, that's how good he's been. You know, he's going to make All-NBA. He's going to, I think he's, at least for me, he's over Rudy Gobert for All-NBA. I think they're, he's been awesome. And I'm just really excited to see what they do in the playoffs. They're a half game behind the Denver Nuggets to get out of the play-in tournament. And those guys, those two teams play on April 1st. That's going to be a monster game. And it's exciting to watch Minnesota kind of finally step up, because for years we've been hearing about Cat, but every time we're always like, all right, this is just a bunch of paper tigers. They're not even that, not even that really. But like, now it's nice to see it come to fruition. And as James was saying, they all like each other. They all got each other's back. You know, that's something we haven't seen in Minnesota in a long time.
Yeah.
And,
credit to
Pat Bev too. Sorry, Trey, to cut you off, but just bringing that Jimmy Butler edge without the, I need to go get another, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's on a different timeline than Jimmy Butler, but he brings the same type of edge. And I think that's been a great mesh for that Timberwolves team.
And I think Anthony Edwards does sort of the same stuff in a different way. Like, he's not going to back down. He brings that, like, fuck you mentality that they kind of needed a little bit. Because I think Russell and Towns can be, like, too cool for school sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed that edge. And they find it. My only thing with the whole Russ thing is just be consistent. Like, if you didn't like him doing that, like, you should have done something about that a long time ago. You know, right. And it's the same thing with Russ. Like, he comes out, he's mad about people saying Westbrook. It's like, bro, you've been rocking the cradle. You've been doing all this stuff your whole career. Now people are saying Westbrook and you're mad?
Like, you're bricking?
Like, you've been causing this. You've been like that your whole career. So, of course, in the twilight, once you've lost it a little bit, people are going to let you have it. Just like you let everyone else have it when you were at the top of your game and you were giving it to people. So I just like people to be consistent. But Pat Bev is definitely consistent. He will go at you. He doesn't care if he's losing. He doesn't care if he's down 30. He doesn't care that he's not as good as a lot of the guys he goes at. He's just going to go at you. And he has infuse the Timberwolves with some of that. And you can tell, like, they enjoy playing with each other. They want each other to succeed. And as someone who was very skeptical at first of the Towns-Russell duo, the fact that they're making it work and playing decent defense with those guys as key figures is impressive to me, and not something I necessarily anticipated.
Man, Swagger should not be involved in basketball conversations. but it does play a factor on why people hate these guys, right? You initially look at them and you say, oh, they're corny. Or, you know, who's to determine this cool meter? But on the basketball side, they're playing damn good basketball. And I feel like, same way James said, hey, if you're getting your ass kicked, let them tunnel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Create that, because at the end of the day, like, LeBron used to pump fear in a lot of guys' heart. And I think after the Lakers lost to the Suns, everybody's not really afraid of them anymore. And especially, you know, the Timberwolves have been getting kicked for years and clowned and saying, you know, even their social media accounts have been, you know, celebrating too early and watching it go the complete opposite way. And I think this year is finally their year where they've established, and you mentioned, you know, acquiring Pat Beverly, who was, you know, brings that toughness and confidence. And then you got, you know, Ant-Man bringing, you know, that swag solely that makes them likable. Like, that's how I look at the Celtics, right?
Yep.
I don't like the Celtics, but I like Jaylen Brown and I like Jason Tatum. They make the Celtics likable the same way how Isaiah Thomas was likable. When you look at a Marcus Smart, you're like, I don't really love the game. But if Marcus Smart is on your team, you love him. You know what I mean? So I think how fan bases and how people accept these guys outside of their actual performance is a reason why all this hate is fueled up. You know what I mean? Or it's not acceptable in that eye. So unfortunately, that's how a lot of things are received. But this Timberwolves team is playing great. They've done a whole 180 and have been able to create a whole culture amongst that. McDaniel, so many different added pieces to this team.
I mean, Vanderbilt's been awesome for them.
Absolutely.
So I mean, there's so many small pieces that make this team work. You're 100%
how are
right.
How are we feeling about them heading into the playoffs? Because, I mean, you look at the resume they're putting together, like they're 42-30, which is pretty good. their net rating is 3.6, which is better than the Bucks, better than the Nuggets, better than the Mavericks. Like, are we thinking of this team as a playoff threat, or are we just kind of disregarding them because, you know, they'll probably run into the Suns, the Grizzlies, or the Warriors, and that's just
Jay, I'm glad you lobbed that for me because that sounds like some regular season animals.
wait, before we jump to that, because I kind of just think I would be really interested in watching them play the Grizzlies in the first round. Because even the Grizzlies, even though they went to the playoffs last year, it's not like they have a ton of playoff experience themselves, yeah. Right? So it would kind of be fun to watch these two young teams battle in the first round. I think that'd be a really awesome series. I think that'd have a lot of fireworks there with everything that goes on. I don't know if they could beat the Warriors, though. Like, that would be a question, just on the experience level. So I think, Jay, to your question, it just matters who you match up with.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm with that. I would actually like to watch that series, you know,
because yes, please,
it would be exciting. It's young talent. It's guys getting their first shot at it and really earning it keep. It reminds me of like not a Philly, a Philly Toronto matchup back in 2001.
Right.
But the energy would be there with young talent. Right. And
please don't put this on NBA TV.
Oh,
put
yeah.
this on the TNT. Make yes. this
but,
one of the marquee
but,
playoff
but
matchups.
Because
this could be one for years.
But to be fair, this is an NBA TV type no! game. Yes, it is. They're going to get thrown
put
the to
the Lakers
back
on
order.
NBA TV.
No, the Lakers aren't going to be in
there. I was
going
to say, are the Lakers going to be there?
Oh,
I thought it was 1-2-3 Cancun.
That's true. You're right.
If
they could play their way out of the play-in tournament, the Lakers would do that right now.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City, with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
Mo, LeBron, let's talk about this conversation. Was that Bruce Brown and Terrence Mann?
Yes.
Okay.
Shout out to Bruce.
They were on Instagram story having a conversation publicly about, you know, just different things. And then the Utah Jazz came up. And Terrence Mann says, they're just regular season animals. Do we agree?
Do you think he meant it as a dig? Like,
I absolutely think so. Because again,
he had to, because right?
he busted
course,
their ass in the
of
playoffs.
Course, because he yeah. because at first I'm pretty sure before
he was
before
like,
that
I've never won in Utah in the regular season.
Yeah, but I'm just saying before that performance, I'm sure he was like, "Yo, this is a tough team." Blah 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 blah. Then he started getting off against them, and he was like, "Oh, it's like defeating a boogeyman, right?" You're like, yep. I ain't afraid of the dark anymore. So, of course, his chest is poked out because he's actually defeated them before. You know what I mean? And had good games. And Utah stay getting disrespected. But they have to prove.
It's their
you know
fault,
what I mean?
Right.
They have to prove it. Every year, it's like, well, at least we made it here. Don't y'all want to win a championship?
Yep.
You know what I mean? You invested all this money into Gobert. Mitchell's next. The supporting cast, you know, Jordan Clarkson's playing well, et cetera. You know what I mean? These guys enjoy being around each other. You know, obviously we've pitted Mitchell and Gobert against each other for years, and all of a sudden now everything's peaches and cream. Okay, so what is holding this team back from ultimately being good? You know, you got Steph out with the Warriors. Chris Paul still out with the Suns. You know what I mean? Like, the Lakers Who knows what their, you know, what their future entails. The Nuggets Clippers are still missing. The Clippers, this is their year to actually make something happen. Will they take advantage of this situation of it being quote unquote wide open?
No, I don't think so. And first of all, before I get started, Bruce Brown and Trey Mann making headlines is the most random duo headline of all time. I just want to throw that out there. Shout out to Bruce, though. That's my guy. No, but they are. Like, every time we bring up Utah on this pod or when we're group texting, like, it's about this. We've talked about this for years. Like, this is just what they do. And it's almost like that. I mean, that Atlanta team had a little bit more playoff success than Utah, or more playoff success, I think, than Utah. It's been a little bit now. But it is a team that people figure out when it comes to a seven-game series. It's a team that you don't want to face on the second night of a back-to-back or 3-5 in the regular season because they're good, they're consistent, but they do have holes. And defensively, they're not great. Rudy's out there, and he anchors it all, but we know what it looks like when it's kind of bogged down and everybody has a chance to game plan for it. It is what it is, and this is a team that I've long said needs another guy to play alongside Donovan Mitchell. I like Mike Conley, but they need a more assertive force there. He needs a pairing because I think as good as Donovan Mitchell is, I just don't think there's a lot of points to go around when the game gets in playoff mode. And defensively, like I said, they're just not what they need to be to make a run. And this is, like you said, Trey, this is the time. This, the West, outside of Phoenix, the West is pretty open. And they're the team that's been together, what, the longest of all these guys? And semi-healthy?
I think their fans are even scared to beat their chest at this moment. Right. And that's not a great feeling, because this is the year that you should be poking your chest out, not being humble, and believing in your team could really get this done. But I don't feel that they even feel believing their team that much. I have yet to see it.
What frustrates me about them was going into the season, I was treating them like the Milwaukee Bucks before last season, before they won the championship. I wanted to see them experiment, play with things, try going small, find a small ball lineup and things like that, because you got to be able to play different ways, even defensively. And they haven't done anything. They're just going about it again, the same thing over and over again. We're going to run the offense the same way. We're going to run our defenses the same way. It's all going to be funneled into Rudy Gobert, and we're going to hope that's going to work in the playoffs. But teams are going to spread you out. We already have the blueprint on you on yep. how to beat you, and they haven't changed anything. They haven't, you know, they added Rudy Gay. I thought they were like, okay, maybe that's going to be their small ball guy. They're going to go smaller, and maybe that's going to help them out. They rarely go small, right? They play a Hassan Whiteside a ton when Rudy Gobert goes out. Like, they haven't experimented at all. And that's why I'm just like, come playoff time, you know, just miss me with you guys. I don't even know if you're going to beat the Mavs. If the Mavs have the first round, if they have home court advantage for the first round, I don't think you're even going to beat Dallas. So I think their time's kind of just slowly running out.
And don't let them face Minnesota. That's one I'd like to see too.
And you can tell how other guys feel about them just by the way, by how much public criticism they get. You know? Like, I feel like other players are quick to criticize, whether it's Gobert or the Jazz as a whole. Like, what you're not saying this about Phoenix. You're not saying this about Golden State. You're not saying this about a team you're concerned about, you know? Like, you wouldn't be out here saying, oh, they're regular season animals if there was even slight concern.
Or if you had respect for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
And so I feel like they're a team that other teams think they can figure out when it matters. And I think the Jazz, to me, in a playoff setting, not necessarily during the regular season because they have the best offense, I feel like their offense is sort of like Dallas is from last year. They definitely have more threats, like more off the dribble guys, more, but that's not an offense that I think is going to be like elite when people are locked in come playoff time, because other than Donovan Mitchell, they don't have like that second premier guy offensively. And obviously Gobert is that defensively, but just not offensively. Yep. And then defensively, we saw it last year. They just don't have guys who can stay in front of the best penetrators, or even, you know, like Terrence.
They don't have a wing defender.
No.
Who do you really trust?
Royce O'Neal. Royce O'Neal is a very good defender,
but he's he's a really good defender, but he's not locking up dudes. He really isn't. Like, it's not like he's putting handcuffs on guys.
Listen, Jazz fans, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm tired. I'm tired of talking crap about your team. Same. I want to move in a positive direction for Salt Lake City. Hear me out. Tell your team to get it together. Stop being frauds. It's wide open for you guys to give, to bring a finals appearance to Utah. How bad do you want it?
Well, and that, that's why I think
assets at, like, why didn't they, like, where does everything have to go make that deal at the deadline? Like,
I was disappointed with them at the deadline.
Yeah, I think everybody was. Right? Like, how could you not get Robert Covington or find just a deal somewhere for another wing guy? The wing guy you get is Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Like, he's not helping you in the playoffs.
Jeremy Grant would have been the perfect guy for them. But they have nothing worthwhile.
Yeah.
Okay. Trader Danny's there now. He'll find a way. and maybe in the offseason.
He never made trades, almost never made trades at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Nobody told us all about
him. He was
him.
Often very quiet at the trade deadline.
I forgot all about Danny being over there. D-Wade over there. It's an interesting group. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, whatever you want to say. But they need to figure it out because I don't think they get another shot like this.
Nope. And if they don't this year, I say it's time to do something.
Absolutely.
Drastic.
Get very surgical.
What can you do?
Don't hang on like Portland did. Yeah. They hung on too long.
See what you can get for Rudy.
Yeah, that's the really tough part about it is because, like, Rudy Gobert is great. Donovan Mitchell is great. I just think, like, the two of them together aren't good enough. And they went after Conley. And that was, you know, he helped a lot, but he wasn't enough to put them over the top. Nope. And now it's like, if you trade Rudy, even if you get another, like, a great wing, let's say, like, I don't know, a scoring wing.
Jay, no more greats.
A star type wing.
You adding too many greats. I like Rudy with the great. Donovan, that's a stretch with the great. So good.
Oh, we're not giving Donovan.
We're gonna go good. We're gonna go good. Because great is putting too much expectations on them type of players.
Okay, so are we saying that they should get rid of Donovan and keep Rudy? Build around Rudy?
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying Rudy is dominant in his space, respectfully. He is, you know. He's very damn good at what he does. He takes up space, what he needs to do for this team to be successful. But at the end of the day, I can put him in that great factor. Not saying that Donovan Mitchell isn't good, but great I haven't seen on a consistent basis for him to earn great. He's good. Because we like to put players on, you know, pedestals and then chop the tree. And then they fall back down quickly. They have to earn that great. I think he's good.
But you know the problem too, though? You know the problem is with Rudy, it's a hard contract to move for a center that can't score.
Yep.
Right? Like, that's – you're committed to $205 million when he
signed
the deal.
In an offensive league.
Right. And it's just like, at a certain point, it becomes difficult to justify the pieces you're going to have to give up to go get him and then go, okay, go get us 20 tonight.
Right.
It's very difficult in that sense, because then you're looking at it going, like, nobody can replicate what Rudy does defensively. But can I get 60, 70% of what Rudy does defensively at a fraction of the cost to pay Rudy? Yeah,
yes.
I probably can get that. And now I'll have I'll have the funds to go get other pieces and build a fully functioning team around it. So that's why they're in a real difficult spot when it comes to let's just say they flame out in the playoffs this year. I don't know where you improve the team. And that's why it really does come down to, do you have to move Donovan Mitchell? Like, that's the real big question for them in the offseason if they flame out. And that's going to be the problem, you know, and Jazz fans can go nuts with all of that stuff, but I don't know where else you can improve.
So here's my thing about saying that Donovan Mitchell isn't great. His last three playoff series, 36.3 points per game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists a game. That's against Denver in the bubble. 28.5 points a game, 5.8 assists a game. That's while beating the Memphis Grizzlies that everyone loves. 34.8 points a game, 5.3 assists a game, 5 rebounds a game. That's in the loss to LA. What more do you need from this guy in big moments? Like,
win.
Donovan Mitchell has been a guy in big moments.
Just win.
Agreed. Yeah, they're team deep, but people are letting Rudy off the hook for the defense.
I don't think so.
He did when he's the defensive guy.
I don't think
and,
so.
And so I'm just saying, like,
we don't.
If it were,
because when we come at that guy, oh, you guys don't get it. His defensive rating and what he brings to the table, and it's like,
shut the fuck up,
please.
I'm just saying, if I had to choose between the two of them, my choice is easy, and it's Donovan.
Of course, because I need to score.
I think we're saying one, you can move and get stuff back that possibly makes the team better. And one, I'm not so sure. I think that's what Mo was saying, right?
But that was my argument about paying him 200.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, look, are y'all just okay with locking these guys who actually want to be in Utah? Or do you want to pay him a little bit of, you know, obviously something that he might not like, but then you can go get something to surround your team with? Because, again, Joe Ingles ain't end all be all, but he got hurt.
Right.
And he was a vital piece to their team. But then you got Bogdanovic, you got Jordan Clarkson, Royce O'Neal, there's Mike Conley. Like, these people, it's not enough. It's not enough. And you, like, we already knew that they weren't going to make any moves during the deadline. This is not enough.
And it's got to hurt when you look at Memphis has jumped over them, right? Like,
yeah.
Has flown by them. We Phoenix probably going to be good for a while. The Warriors are the Warriors. And when Denver comes back fully healthy next season, if the Clippers come back fully healthy next season, I mean, just named 5 teams better than them next season. Like, this is the challenge that they have, right? And that's going to be the real issue going forward for the Jazz is trying to figure out, how do we build this team going forward? How do we decide it? And you got to figure out, what do you do? Because, yeah, if they can move Rudy, I think if it was just a straight-up choice, they would always pick Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, everybody would. But it's just, what are the offers we're getting for Rudy Gobert versus what are the offers we're getting for Donovan Mitchell? I don't think they're going to be the same. Yeah. I don't think they're going to be close, you know?
And then how can you – honestly, like, I'm not – I think if they had – maybe the right type of supporting cast, that maybe those two guys would be enough.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
but you need more two-way guys around them. Mm-hmm. I think for this team to really make playoff noise, like, they need to have one of the, at least the top five. Like, for them to be, what are they, ninth in defense right now?
Yeah.
And it's almost all Gobert. Without Gobert, that is just a pathetic defense. When he was out, they were extraordinarily bad.
Yeah.
And so, like, to me, when you have that guy who can be the center of just incredible defense, you need to surround him with defender. You can't just rely on him to be your entire defense. And I think that's where this team falls short. If they were really one of the best defenses in the league, maybe the best, I would give them a chance against anybody, because Donovan has shown that he can be the leader of an offense in a playoff series, and he can go toe-to-toe. He went toe-to-toe with Jamal Murray when Jamal Murray touched God. and so I do think that he's shown he can carry an offense. But they need to build a better defense. As weird as that sounds, because they are top 10, it's just like it's kind of paper gold, you know. Like, you can't trust that come playoff time, because we've seen, you know, teams just go small and spread them out and beat their wings and then force Rudy into help, and it hasn't turned out well. It certainly didn't turn out well against Terrence Mann, and that's why he's out here calling him regular season animals.
Well, that's exactly what they are. You know, you called it with in the text message with me, Dorian Finney-Smith, a few weeks later, right? That he torched funny. Them when they played Dallas. That was one of your probably biggest moments of the season, Jay. but calling that of him kind of torching them, and that's exactly what he did in that game against Dallas.
And that's the type of guy they need to.
He's the perfect fit for them, right? Yeah. Like, it's finding those guys. Those are the ones they need. Can, you know, sure, Nikhil Alexander-Walker can develop into that guy, but that's 3 or 4 years from now. You need a guy now like that. And I think that's their issue with that. Because you're right. You could definitely have built a team around that, but that's not the pieces they have. You know, when you bring Jordan Clarkson off the bench, well, there goes your defense, right?
Like, they built a team to funnel everything to Rudy and have him be the defense. Like, they decided it's okay if we don't have super laterally quick guys from Bogdanovich, Ingles, Jordan Clarkson, like guys who are going to get beat on the perimeter. They decided that's okay because we've got Rudy Gobert. And I think we've seen in the biggest moments that's not okay.
And I mean, you know, last year was the first year ever any team has played five smalls on the court during the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they got to be prepared. They should know better.
Guys, I would love to talk about the Jazz all day, but we got to move on.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
A couple days ago, well, was it yesterday? I don't know. I'm losing track of my days. LeBron James passed the mailman. And there was a comment that he said on possibility of passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I will not allow myself to think about it. Is he lying, James?
I mean, yeah, he's going to think about it, especially as he gets close. Because you're all the way there. You're at the doorstep. You might as well walk through the door. I mean, what he's done is phenomenal. I don't think there's much to say about it. It's a guy who's played, what, this is his 19th season? Never suffered a major injury. Has exceeded the generously high ridiculously high expectations put on him. And when you're able to play that long at that high of a level, you're going to put yourself in categories with these greats. So no surprise there. But I don't think he's like going to think about it right now. I think naturally, as long as he kind of continues on a similar trajectory health-wise for the next year and a half, 2 years. Like, how many points behind Kareem is he? 3,000?
No, less than 1,500.
Oh, so that's like what, a season and a half?
Yeah, he'll. I think the number was if he averages 25 points a game or something like that next season, he'll pass Kareem.
Okay, so yes, he will start thinking about it midway point of next season when it's obtainable, assuming he's healthy and still the LeBron James that he's been for the last 19 years.
This is a dude who got beat by like 30 the other day and talked about how much having 10,000 career assists meant to him, his family, everything. I was like, come on.
No, come on.
You're not thinking about Kareem?
That's just great avoiding the question.
I don't think he did a great job at all. You know what I mean? No. He could have just said next question and nobody would have said nothing to him. I mean, look, I get it.
Or just said the obvious.
It is an outstanding feat of all the things that he's been able to accomplish. But he got to stop that. He got to stop that, man. It's going to happen. We all know it's going to happen. You know what I mean? But in this particular situation, you just got to stop, man. Like, I don't even really want to spend too much because I don't even want to talk about his team. We're going to solely talk about these points. I think it's a remarkable thing.
We're going to solely talk about these points. Story of the Lakers season.
Yeah. That is the headline of it. It went from stop talking about my team to talk about my points. And that's right. Where we at. That's it. That's where we at.
And that's why I always laugh when people are like, LeBron's going to shut it down for the season. No, he's not.
No.
He might shut it down during the play-in game, but he's not going to shut it down during the regular season.
Let's be honest. He's already shut it down for the season.
No, he's not. He's going for 50.
He's out there for his points.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Listen, they're losing to the Wizards. Bro, they...
Porzingis going big in crunch time.
I think friend of the show, Amin, posted that this was their first time having a lead in one game in the last 13 games. Like having a lead at halftime. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. Like, oh my God. That's not Lakers basketball. That's not Lakers basketball. Even though I think tradition is a scam, overall, it's just kind of like, come on, man. Y'all not putting the best product out there. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't know if it's the players. I don't know if it's the coaching. I heard a theory that the players have quit on him and really, you know, solely see that he's solely just seeking these points. And it is what it is. And then it's others just like, because it's just no way. I don't care how bad this team is. They still could get to the AFC. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think Anthony Davis in general. And I don't really want to get, I'm mad I even brought his name up because the quote he put up about the Suns was disrespectful. All the hard work that they're doing.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And to say like, if I wouldn't have got hurt, you guys all know what would have happened. No, we're still trying to figure out if you can play 82 games, brother.
Right.
You're right.
If I wouldn't have got hurt. You've been hurt your whole career.
Yeah, man.
It's
no more hypotheticals at this point.
Right.
There's no longevity.
Can we give Kareem Abdul-Jabbar some love? Because I was looking at just the numbers, you know, and him doing that. The fact that he is the all-time scoring leader and has only one three in his pocket, and same for Karl Malone, obviously not a three-point shooter. Game's different now. Mm-hmm. But that's unbelievable. And the longevity he had in his career.
That's what I say. He's a trajectory-wise, body size-wise, all that stuff is close to Bron. And that's why I would always used to say his comp was, right? Not on a, you know, just build, lifting weights, staying busy, you know what I mean, carrying up that, still being able to move fast, forceful dunks, you know, defensively and offensively. But then when you look at it in a situation of Kareem, they took out the dunk. He created a shot. He's had this scoring lead for almost 30 years. It might be 30 years.
I mean, he averaged double figures twice in his 40s.
Right. But I mean, it took LeBron playing, you know, starting also at like 19 when Kareem had to start at like, 22? Like, there's a whole level of that stuff. Like, I just want to give Kareem a lot of love because sometimes it does seem like he sort of gets forgotten and all of that stuff.
And at the same time, go ahead.
No, just say this, just unbelievable amount of like, foresight, doing yoga way ahead before anybody else and learning about taking care of your body in a different way than everybody, you know, thought of back then. Like, this is just amazing. And I don't think Kareem gets the love he deserves. I hope we're going to see a whole lot of it next season as LeBron chases the title. But I mean, it's incredible.
At the same time, while you talk about how incredible it is for Kareem, you know, we're discussing LeBron and the Lakers being tough. It's been a tough season. What he's doing in his 19th season and the longevity that he's had is absurd.
Yeah.
And you obviously he's in the conversation for greatest player of all time. And whatever you think about Michael Jordan, and some people I know think that Michael Jordan will never be touched, or at least has never been touched. But LeBron now is giving himself a different type of argument for that title.
Jay.
And you know, he doesn't have as many championships. I don't think has as many MVPs, but he is doing it for so long. He's been doing this since he was a teenager.
Jay, he is the greatest of his era. Yes, and that's the best I can give to him. The greatest of his era. And it kind of goes, it kind of trickles down in different decades. But he is the greatest of his era. I'll give him that. Easily.
And I don't even want to get into
And it's nobody scratching that surface for his era.
Nobody in the history of the game has ever played at the level he has for as long as he has.
I agree with that.
I agree. I agree.
Kareem in year 19 has slowed down. I know he entered the NBA respectfully,
I'm going to go sports science. I'm going to go with.
Oh, definitely.
I'm going to go with a lot of things that changed, man. A lot of things that changed,
a whole lot of things have changed. Yeah. But the same way we talk about.
Trips to Miami.
And that's whatever happened
during those.
Here we go. All right, let me.
Agreed. Oh boy.
All right, let's move on, man. Lastly, I want to talk about the scoring this week in the NBA, and I want to start with you, James, because you got a chance to see two Pistons go off.
Yeah.
Did they get tested after that?
No, they just played the Orlando Magic.
Orlando Magic have like given up some numbers. Oh my god! Because
what Kyrie had 60 on them,
And then Sadiq Bey the next game, 51.
You know how random a Sadiq Bey 50. You called it though, right? Tell us about how you called that.
So at the beginning of the year, I do like preseason or like predictions for the season, and Sadiq Bey is one of those guys. His rookie year, I mean, he's a shooter. I mean, he's almost set a lot of 3-point records given the shortened season. If it was a full season, he would have beaten some of them. And he was a guy that had like mid-20s, like once, twice a month. Like he was getting his shit off. And I was like, he's coming into this year just based on the expectation, first team all rookie last year. Like there's going to be a game where he hits 10 threes and a layup, gets the line like 6 times. There's going to be a 40-point Sadiq Bey game. And since about January, he's been really good. Like really, really good. There's been a few dry spells here and there, but for the most part, it's been pretty good. And he had it. He hit 10 threes against the Magic, got to the line, I think 7-8 times, finished at the rim. He's a guy that sneakily, I'm still trying to figure out his ceiling, but I've talked about it a bunch. Like this is a guy that would be in the rotation on any NBA team and start on a good majority. But he just shoots the shit out of the ball. Like when he's locked in, he's one of those guys. And then Jeremy just has those games where, again, the three ball, and I'm sure we'll all talk about it with these high scoring games. Jeremy hit 7 threes last night against Cleveland, and that's 21 points just from beyond the arc. So the fact that a lot of these young guys are growing up or grew up in a 3-point era where the three ball has been what? So prevalent for the last, I'm trying to like maybe early 2010s. So like you look at a guy like Sadiq, like he's 12, Jeremy's like 15. So these guys are trying to perfect. Like when we were coming up, like I know you guys were all close in age, not like the exact age, but like we started at the rim and worked our way back. We worked on the head fake from the 3-point line, one dribble pull up mid range. Like we didn't work on the three ball, even like in our late 20s, early 30s, like if you were growing up. So like a lot of these guys, like that's where the game was. So if you can just get hot from three, like anything is possible in today's NBA.
I mean, it's the Magic.
Yeah, and it's the Magic. Yeah.
I watched the game.
I wanted to give an NBA team credit and say it's an NBA team, but like, man, the effort there and the guys just tearing their ass up. Like, just looking at it. But no, I mean, it's not even just the Magic. I mean, you're looking at Karl-Anthony Towns getting 60. You know, LeBron's had 250-point games. Yeah. Like, is it the
Jeremy's
defense?
Was on Cleveland, who's a good defensive team.
But I'm saying, is it the defense or just guys just starting to just get it going? Or is it just that type of the season where guys are kind of just mentally checked out and you're going to get off at this particular time?
So I think all of it.
Yeah, I think all of it.
All of it. And I think to add to it, it's been like a – 3 seasons crammed together, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like it hasn't been the normal off season for guys. They won't have the normal off season till this summer. So if you've been in the middle of this, you haven't had your normal time to rest, recover. So at the end of this stretch, like, yeah, I think there are guys that are looking around, seeing themselves out of the playoffs and going, eh, you know, like, I don't really have to close out to Sadiq Bey right
do
now.
Do I have to fight through this screen?
Like, yeah,
am I going to play this hard? Really? Like
we really don't need to close out to Sadiq right now. Or at the other end of it, like, teams that have been through long playoff runs and then had the shorter off seasons on top of it, maybe played for Team USA, they're not trying to play defense either. Yeah. Like, and so I think we've seen an offensive explosion lately after a really slow start to the season. So probably all of it. I'm just happy that people gave me another reason to think about Corey Brewer and Tony Delk.
Like you needed another reason. Honestly.
Hold on. We're not going to slander Sadiq Bey.
No.
Sadiq's,
well, a little bit.
That's not slander.
To say
that's not slander, but you have to admit that was a random 50 ball.
Super random. But
yes,
it doesn't shock me. But I also watched every second of his whole career. So like I understand how like it's shocking to the majority of people, but he does have like the random. He gets like 30. You see it, Jay, when he plays Boston.
Oh, he kills Boston.
Yeah, he gets 30 up against Boston pretty regularly. So like it was in the cards, but you don't expect anybody to get 50.
But to the bigger
should I
point,
give the Mo Williams? Mo Williams, is that more along the line of Sadiq Bey where like he could really go off? He was
no, because Sadiq's 22.
Sadiq was on the line of Corey Brewer. Even though he's 22, even though he's 22, he's not used in offenses like that. He's not like
no, agreed.
You know,
agreed.
He's not Miles Bridges, right? Because Miles Bridges gets overly. Oh, he has a high usage rate in Charlotte. Sadiq Bey, it's like okay, you know what, Jeremy Grant. Maybe he's in foul trouble. Maybe Cade's out. You know what I mean? Like certain situations where he's not going to get those looks that he probably wants. He probably can.
And both of those guys were out in that game.
See, he was like, I get the ball tonight. Yeah. It's going up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was one of those. Hey, look what I can still do. Like I'm capable.
And he actually
of this.
Plays better with like Jeremy out. Like his numbers with him, when it's just him and Cade are pretty good. So that's something the Pistons also have to talk about this offseason.
Because he gets more touches. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah,
right?
And
but I think
he's been effective.
The talk of the scoring, this is relatively normal. Now, granted, these numbers are a bit high, but just offenses going up towards the second half of the season tends to happen regularly because, you know, we all touched on it. There are teams that know they're tanking. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're not winning. You have guys, you know, at a certain point, you're going to have load management with players. So some of the good teams are going to start resting guys and things like that. We get odd results at this point of the season, right? Like we're going to hit the point where Oklahoma City is going to try to lose games and they're going to play Poku at, you know, point guard, you know, and doing all that stuff. Like you're going to start to see some of these weird results. It's been extreme this year, but it's not abnormal in the sense of this is something that normally happens throughout the season is the offenses do pick up. And this year we had good defense to start the season, right? And things were still pretty solid and we still have good defensive games. Last Sunday's Mavs Celtics game was a rock fight, right? 95-92. Like, it was, you know, we still have some of those too. So I just think it's something we do tend to see, but we're just a little bit shocked when it is. And again, no offense, Sadiq Bey going for 50. Right.
No, I get it.
Well, that's going to do it for us.
No, we got to talk about one more thing.
Go for it, man. Go for it.
The best part of Sadiq Bey's 50 ball was the on Instagram, Pistons coach Jerome Allen posted that he told Sadiq after the game, you would never get 50 on me. And Sadiq said, let's take this outside. And they literally posted video of them playing one-on-one at the park. Oh, yeah. Like that's just incredible, man.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Shout out to Jerome. Uh-oh.
Yeah, there goes my iPhone.
There you go, Jay. Good
let's
job,
see if the
Jay.
Screen shatter. Hold up.
And that's gonna finally do it for us. For Jay.
Oh, the screen survived.
James.
I got the case on the joint. Let's go.
We'll catch you next week. Don't forget to check out Daily Ding, Point of Contention,
I feel like I just
Hoop Adjacent, and all other
stop
podcasts.
Stop talking, Jay.
He can't shut up. On the Athletic Podcast.